sunshine when she's gone. It's no warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Zoe's gone too long. The time she goes away. Wonder this time when she's gone. If she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Cause I'll stay no home. It's time she goes.
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode 256. And this is a fun one. I'm sitting down with my friend and friend of the show, Ron Pitts. We're out in Modesto, California on a little road trip. And we sit down to talk with Matt Davis. MattDavis.music on Instagram. He's also with the band Langford. We just talk about his journey into performing live music, what brought him from Alaska to Modesto. And then he plays us a couple songs. Actually, that was him playing on the intro. And then he does one of his originals as an outro. So sit back and enjoy my conversation with Matt Davis. We recorded this at the Wildfire Public House in Modesto, California. And as always, this show is brought to you by Bully Dog Coffee, BullyDogCoffeeCompany.com. Big Bold Flavors for your big, bold hearts. Hey, don't forget to use that Amazon link at milehighshow.com as well to help me pay for trips like this to California to talk with Matt Davis and Ron Pitts and eat yummy food and drink lots of beverages. Sit back and enjoy. Thanks for tuning in.
She's gone. She's gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
This is bad. So I'm sitting in the Wildfire Public House after recording a great podcast with the musician you hear in the background, Mr. Matt Davis, a local musician here in Modesto, California. We recorded a fantastic 40-minute podcast hearing about his history, hearing some songs and his gigs and all that good stuff. And then I go to throw the card into the computer, and it didn't record any of our conversation. So I am going to attempt to ask him to sit down and record another mini episode with us when he is done playing, and that's what's going to happen. This is embarrassing. Yeah, I don't know what happened. First, I want to thank you, Matt, for sitting down the first time to talk with me, and yeah. Now I had to drag you back. In 10 years of doing, well, 9.5 years of doing this, that's the first podcast that did not record.
Leave it to me to have that happen.
You know, as they say, there's always a first time.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here with my buddy Ronnie Pitts and Matt Davis. MattDavis.music on Instagram. And then, we're just going to go right in, because now I know a little bit about your story from our conversation that did not record.
Yeah, yeah.
But tell the folks, one, where they can find you. I just listed your Instagram, but where else can they get you?
Yeah, MattDavis.music on Instagram. And if you guys want to check out my Spotify, it's Lankford, L-A-N-K-F-O-R-D, Lankford. It's an old family name. And then also... the band Lankford.com.
So I've seen you perform now. This is twice. First off, blown away. Love your music. Love your spin on some of the classics as well as your originals that we're using. One of your originals on the outro. We'll get to that. But you're recording. I've seen you as solo, like we did tonight here at the Wildfire Public House. Where does the Lankford come in? What's the Lankford band? How does that pop in?
So Lankford is it's a project I started when I moved to Modesto, I wanted to start a band. Matt Davis is a very common name.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really know my father growing up. And so when I got to know him, he told me a story about his father passing away when he was young. And I think that kind of played a role in him not being, you know, a good father. And he took off when I was young. And, you know, my parents had a different way of wanting to raise me, I think, maybe, or something. But he took off. I didn't really know him. And as life went on, I was curious. Like, I'm gonna meet my father. And I had him over my house here in Modesto. And he told me Lankford is his father's last name.
That's the family name that you were kind of estranged from.
I could have been a Lankford, yeah. And so my way of just forgiving him, you know, I'm big on forgiveness, is naming my band Lankford, yeah.
Oh, nice, nice.
So me and him text every once in a while, and we still have a relationship.
Now, is he local here? I mean,
No. He lives, as far as I know, up in Alaska still.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, tell me again about that. You've been here in Modesto, California, the kind of Central Valley, but raised and spent childhood in Alaska.
Born and raised in Alaska,
Tell us a little bit about what that was like. Because in my head, Alaska is just white, glaciers, snow, but obviously it's not.
We have the seasons and everything up there. It's just a little different, you know. When we have summer, it's the sun's up all the time, and we have winter, the sun's down all the time. But you know, I grew up there 30 years of my life, and I call it home, you know. It's home. And my family was some of the original settlers in Alaska.
Yeah.
Born and raised there, and that's it.
Not an easy life up there.
It's cold.
Over the generations, because it's so remote, or at least as an outsider, my vision of it is very remote. Harsh winters, obviously. You said transportation was what your family was doing, and what aspect?
My father was he was always in transportation, driving trucks, you know, transporting
goods.
Gear, stuff, goods. And I think my brother got that same gene, you know. He's got the heavy equipment operator gene, the fisherman, the hunter, like that was my stepdad where I grew up with, you know. And
I hear he's a very handsome man.
I told you he looks like you. You guys look a lot alike. Shout out to my dad, David.
How many siblings in your family? You mentioned your brother.
Yeah. Little brother, little sister Sarah, little brother Chris, and an older sister, Brandy. Yep.
So four of you?
Yep, four of us.
Yeah. Now, any of them in the arts?
I want to say my older sister was very, you know, I kind of was inspired by her to start singing. She loves singing.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mom and my stepdad, they love music. In fact, I think I got turned on to Bill Withers when I was a young kid by them, and that was my biggest influence, I think, you know. And but my sister, she joined the choirs, and I was like, I want to join the choirs, like in school, you know. And I kind of took her lead on that, you know. And so that's the only one, really. Actually, my brother plays bass too, my little brother. Yeah.
Nice. So your stepdad and your mom they fostered the arts in the household, and you're able to explore those.
They love
things.
The arts. Yeah.
Nice. Yep. And we had talked about now you said your tats, they were, because you're a walking piece of art, and then you perform
art.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You mentioned off mic earlier that they have meaning. Is there anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah. I have the one. It's the triangle, and you know, the bottom of the triangle, you got the man, woman, and it comes to a point at the top. That's when they're both seeking God. They find one another. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the spirituality, that higher power played a part in you getting involved with music. That was a great story. Can you tell us a little bit about what? In hearing you play, in hearing you sing, and having spent time with musicians and artists, many of them are, you know, I've been playing guitar as long as I can remember. I was 3 years old when I picked up the guitar, and it shows in how they've crafted their art form. And you have that. So my assumption was, oh, this guy's been strumming since 2 years old, 3 years old, and singing. Wasn't the case.
Kind of the opposite. Yeah. When I was young, I loved music. You know, I was in my bedroom. I was constantly next to my Magnavox radio with the dual cassette tape input. Remember that? You know, back in the 90s, you know? And I thought, like, oh, man, I would love to be a singer, you know, in a band or something. When I was a kid, I dreamt of it. Well, as time went on, I was 20 years old, actually. And I walked into this Pentecostal church, and this pastor comes up to me, and he goes, it's the first time going there, and he goes, hey, you're going to write songs, and your songs are going to touch thousands of people's lives. And I go, you know, I just accepted. I just felt like, yeah.
Now, let me ask you, what you said you'd never stepped foot in that church before. Were you a churchgoer growing up?
No, I mean, I'd gone a couple times, I think, with my grandparents.
But it wasn't an all week, every week thing for you.
No, yeah.
What prompted you to walk in there that day?
At that point, I was kind of homeless. Yeah. I was living in this guy's abandoned home. He had an unfinished attic and everything, and I was sleeping on a baby mattress. I had long, uncut hair. I was bathing out of a barrel. I was just, I was not in the best spot in my life, you know?
So you were looking for something more.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you just chose that one randomly, or did
you have friends
there? Well,
some other people that were kind of in, I want to say they were in the same situation, but maybe, I don't know. But they were like, hey, come to this church, you know, it was King's Chapel in Alaska. And they go, hey, come in here. And I went to that church, and first time I walked in there, this guy just walks right up to me. Yeah, it was crazy.
Why do you think that? I mean, that's an incredible story, that this pastor just walks up to you, picks you out of everybody, and says that. I mean, there's something there more to it, you would have to think.
I think I was very lost.
Yeah.
And I needed direction. And I think it might have been, I don't know, call it Holy Spirit, whatever. It just moved him, you know, to like come up and talk to me and say something.
Interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. And then you pick up a guitar. What was your first guitar? What was the first?
This old lady that like went to the church gave me this little toy guitar. I named it Carlos years later.
Nice.
Because it had kind of like this Spanish little
So out of
inlay
Carlos
on it.
Santana, I'm surprised,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
And this guy had taken it, and it was a toy guitar. He'd taken it, and he put classical strings on it.
Yeah.
So easy to play. And I self-taught. I just taught myself how to play guitar.
At 20 years old.
Yeah.
No other musical other than singing in the choir.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, do you read music, or do you play
by
ear?
Oh, no. I cannot read music to save my life. Yeah.
It blows me away that folks like yourself, artists that can play music and look at scribbles on a line and be able to read music. That's astounding. Even more impressive are the folks like yourself who are like, nah, don't read music. I play by ear and by feel, and, you know, coming from your heart and what's, you know, your mind just driving you. I honestly, I've tried to play an instrument when I was a kid. It was horrible.
He tried to play the recorder.
No, it was the violin.
Oh, okay.
It was terrible.
I tried to play the recorder when I was in third grade. Maybe it was second grade. I don't know. Couldn't figure that out.
I think
out.
We all have to learn the recorder.
I gave
in
it up
grade.
After
yeah.
that.
I wanted to play this. For some reason, I don't know, I want to play saxophone. And the first time in school when they allowed you to join band was Palmacia, second grade, you can sign up. And I begged my parents, I want to play saxophone. And they, no, because you got to rent the instrument, and then you got to, you're not even going to stick to it. No. And I begged them and begged them and begged them. Finally, they said, okay, sign the permission slip. I go in the next day. They're out of everything, all instruments except for the violin. So I don't play the violin. I left. And I come home from school, and my mom says, where's your saxophone? They were out of saxophones. Well, what did they have left? I said, all they had was a violin. She goes, go back to school and get a violin. I said, I'll play a violin. And she said, you beg me to play, you're going to play something. So I practiced for weeks, and I was horrible, and I hated it. My dad told me, you are going to play. Then he heard me play and said, okay, you don't have to play
you
anymore.
You don't have to play.
It was horrible. It was, like, painful.
That's funny.
But I've tried over the years to do other things, and I just don't have
You know, there's
that.
The debate where are you gifted with it or do you learn it? And I think there's a – I think there's both types.
Yeah.
I think there's people that they just they go through life and there's an artistic swell. You just feel it in your soul. And I think that those people are great songwriters. And but then there's people that are just very left brain and they're amazing musicians. They can they're a marvel on any instrument that they're on, you know. And then there's the 1% that are both.
Yeah.
And, I got the songwriter thing. I'm not exactly the musician guy, but I'm definitely the songwriter
guy.
That's
you looking at musicians that you admire and saying, I'm not there, but you're there in aura. I mean, you're an incredible guitarist.
Thank you. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And even as important, and you commented on this, as important to the equation is how you play and how you sing and how you craft your songs. It's how you deal with the audience, especially in the venues you're playing. There, we're sitting here at the Wildfire Public House. I saw you, Ronnie. What was the place again?
Redwood Cafe.
Redwood Cafe here in Modesto.
Yeah, Modesto, yep.
Small, intimate venues. It's obvious that the public in general, but the music community, the music scene here in Modesto, you are a huge part of just in watching the folks that were here. That were strolling in, that know you, know your songs, know you by name. What you're doing with the guitar and with the mic and with your voice, that's important. But the way you're fostering those relationships and having that dialogue and that banter with the crowd and keeping them engaged when, you know, if you're playing a theater where they come in to hear you, to hear music, and they're focused, there's no drink service, there's no food service, and they're just there. That's one thing. But here, you're keeping them as engaged in between waitresses coming in and ordering drinks and ordering food, and kids walking around, and you're still having them wrapped of attention because of how you're dealing with them as consumers of your art. And that is a huge skill.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Because there's so many other... I mean, I'm looking over your shoulder. There's a hockey game going on over your shoulder. Nobody's paying attention to that when you're playing. And that's difficult to do. And you've got that. You've got that ability and that desire to just grab people when they walk in. And it's fantastic to see.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I've seen some musicians that don't have that. And they're up there. Well, I'm playing my songs. I'm it. You listen to me or not. Oh, gig's over and they walk out the door. And you're engaging even during your breaks, asking people how they're doing.
Yeah, Matt, you've always been great about that. And in breaks, you don't really take a break and just leave the audience, if you will. I mean, you're interacting with people. That's how I got to know you.
Yeah.
In this same venue, I was in the other part of the bar with my family, and I heard music playing. I'm like, that's not the radio. That's live music. So I had to poke my head in, and you were playing. So me and my wife, Tammy, and my daughter, Amanda, we sat down, we listened to you, and in a break you came and you sat down with us and you introduced yourself, and you were just so personable about that, and that's, you connected that way, and that was great. And I mean, I suppose that's what led us to sit here right now, really.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
The way the music industry has changed in our lifetime, you know, Ron and I got, you know, decades over you, but as far as age-wise, we've seen it change from, you mentioned your Magnavox with the cassettes, and we go back to the LP days before LPs were trendy, up through digital music and now downloads. And that's how you're really working social media to your advantage to engage, because you're in a beautiful area, Modesto, with a great music scene and a great... But it's limited because it's Modesto. It's a small enclave outside the Bay Area. But you're reaching a much larger audience digitally. How has that changed how you present your art? How does that change how you present your music?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, I feel like, are like, oh, are you going to go on tour? Are you going to, you know, go to L.A.? Are you going to go? And I just, honestly, with today's technology, it's more about creating content and getting on social media. TikTok and Instagram are huge, so beneficial to the game, you know. And if you can do that, I mean, you're basically, you can market yourself, you know, and get out there and seen by hundreds of thousands of people.
And the days of having to rely on a manager and a booking agent and
that stuff helps. You know, shout out to anybody that wants to help me out, but
I'm not turning down representation.
Representation. But, you know, doing it all yourself is a thing that you can do. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a full-time job. Like, I'm constantly on social media, on my phone, constantly. It's just work, creating content, going to photo shoots, it's just constant, you know. Having a label, having somebody that does all that for you and, you know, helps guide you and all that stuff is great. But they're also taking, you know, a cut.
Well,
but they also get you in front of so many more people. So it is it's a double-edged sword. What do you want
to
do?
But to be able to have those tools that didn't exist 10 years ago. You know, streaming music is, on the big scale of things, fairly new.
Yeah.
And then the explosion of social media platforms, like, you know, from MySpace to Facebook to Instagram and now TikTok and whatever else is out there that I don't know about, you can control what you're putting out.
Yeah.
And it's going out to so many more ears than it'll just be seen in the Modesto area.
Yeah. I want to give 100% credit to Instagram, because if it wasn't for Instagram, I would not have quite the following I have. I would have never met a producer. I just got a song in a movie.
Yeah.
And the movie is How the Gringo Stole Christmas. It's a George Lopez film. It was his last December. They found me on Instagram.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, I've been called by The Voice 4 or 5 times to try out their show, and met them in Hollywood, and it's all through Instagram. Yeah. Instagram is an amazing tool for artists, for sure. Yeah.
So being able to reach those far-flung ears and eyes and still be able to perform where you like to be, and we'll talk about that again. What brought you in Modesto from Alaska?
Yeah, this is
what
really...
What brought you here?
Oh, man, my wife.
That's the best part of the story.
So I was on a business trip, and I... My girl, oh, this is a crazy story. My girl ends up, we're on the beach in Miami, and she says yes. And we meet this guy. I proposed to her. She said yes on the beach in Miami. And we meet this guy. And this guy is a little bit, he's out there, you know, and he ends up.
It's a lot of people in Miami.
Yeah. No, he's on this business trip with me. He works for the same company, okay? Uh-huh. We worked in jewelry. So this guy, he's like, hey, what happens here stays here kind of guy. You know what I mean? And he's like, I got a fiance back home, but. So fast forward a couple years. My fiance leaves me, and she ends up, you know, breaking my heart.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to marry this girl and be with her forever. And I was not in a good spot, you know. I really was looking down on myself, you know. And I get this message on Facebook. And this girl goes, hey, you don't know me, but you met my ex on a business trip.
Wow, okay.
Evidently, what stays in Miami does not stay in Miami.
Yeah, so she goes, hey, we broke up. I found out he was cheating on me. And I go, oh, no, what happened? Well, I took a few looks at some pictures first, you know. But that is my wife now of 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. From tragedy comes
And so many songs throughout that, you know. I mean, heartbreak songs.
Yeah.
Finding love songs, you know, it's been a journey. So I moved from Alaska all the way to Modesto.
And so she was based here.
Yep.
And then you came, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yep.
And that sums up what we're going with our outro song on, that you've already played, that we've recorded.
Keep Choosing Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote that song for my wife Ellie, and you know, because my insecurities, like, will you keep choosing me year after year? You know. I think it's...
Well, from what I hear, you really married up anyway.
Oh,
so
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to keep asking.
She's gorgeous. I love you, babe. But the
coming from the male model with the guitar in his hand, man.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a larger-than-life poster hanging over your shoulder.
right? What should we be looking at the whole time we're watching him play?
Oh,
the poster
gosh.
Or Matt in live? I don't know.
But how fantastic.
My wife is amazing. I mean, she's a gorgeous woman. And, you know, I do have insecurities like any other guy. I think, and it's good to kind of put those in a song because I feel like not a lot of guys don't want to say how they feel about that. You know, and I want to inspire people to go, yes, I will continually every day keep choosing you.
Yeah. And then that video, the video was just beautiful, showing couples like Ron and Tammy in there, my buddies, but other couples, friends of yours, probably fans, I'm imagining, from this area. How did you go about choosing those?
Yeah, I just posted on social media. I said, if you guys want to please send me some photos of you, you know, when you're getting married and years later. And I've got, I mean, stuff from way back when and
that's
or
great.
Stuff that's more recent.
There was
just
a couple
beautiful.
Of couples in there that went way back. It was a beautiful video. Well, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And, of course, your social media. But what a great, a beautiful sentiment and feeling of just renewing. And it shows, with, like you said, your artwork on your arm, the triangle specifically, the need for all of us that are in relationships to keep checking back and making sure, am I making my partner happy?
Keep pursuing,
Am I doing the best I can?
Yeah.
And when we stop thinking that, that's the beginning of the end. Or if we don't remedy it, it's, you know, when we become complacent, but when we're constantly trying to please others and trying to better and strengthen that relationship we have, you got to keep reminding yourself of that. And now you have to,
because
you put it out there on the internet.
The grass is not greener on the other side. It's green where you water it. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Beautiful.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. I guess I've been watering it for 30 years.
Nice.
Matt, you're getting there.
Coming up, but 29 years.
20, that's
there you go.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got to go.
The other Matt. Yeah.
I want to be like you guys.
Well, you're on your way.
My wife just left. I think that's the key to a relationship is she leaves with her family. No, that's not right. they're just tired. It's been a long trip. But you sound, you know, listening to how you got involved in music by seeking out something bigger than yourself and recognizing that, having that humility that, hey, I'm in a position, I need some help, to full circle, you're in a fantastic relationship, 7 years, yet you've got the visual reminder on your arm, the audio version of that in the form of the artwork you're making in the latest song that we're going to hear on the outro. It sounds like you are really embracing that beauty of relationships. And I'd asked you in the previous non-recorded podcast about your favorite gigs, and you mentioned one as being when you play at weddings.
Yeah I love man. It's to me the most important thing in life is love. And being a singer songwriter and being a part of those special moments with people is definitely it's what I seek to do for sure.
And it's great to play in like we saw you tonight. People are enjoying themselves. They're having a great meal. They're hanging out with friends. But when you play and you are the focus of entertainment, at least for a little bit, at what is hopefully one of the most important days in someone's life, now you're part of that memory. What a great place to be.
Yeah, I love
it. Hey, I'm part of what hopefully you'll be celebrating 50 years from now.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Man. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you again for sitting down a second time. I'm an idiot. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what I did on this Zoom recorder. I love Zoom recorders, but I messed up. And we recorded a podcast before you started playing tonight that I really enjoyed. Got a chance to get to know you. And then as soon as you started playing and I checked the audio, I realized all we had was the performance aspect of it and none of the interview. So I'm very thankful that you let us stick around.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man.
I'm an idiot. But
it's not like we got here early either, right?
I'm from a small town where everybody knows me anyway, so anybody listening to this knows I'm an idiot, so that's no surprise to anybody. But I want to thank you again. Please tell people where they can find your music, find your art, download it. And I'm looking at, on your poster, you've got QR codes for tips, for links to your socials and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they can purchase some of this music.
LENKFORD, Lankford, is on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora. That's my band.
Yeah.
And on Instagram, mattdavis.music.
And they can contribute to the cause that way?
I got tips on there, and then you can also become a Patreon fan.
Perfect.
Patreon, you could be a $1 or $3 a month, and you can join, be part of the crew that helps me produce music as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to folks out there, one, go to Matt Davis's sites, his links that are in the show notes. Ingest his art, take in his music. Get to know this guy because it's been a pleasure for me to do so. But even equally as important, wherever you're listening to this, seek out live music that's being presented in your community and support that and support all those artists because a world without music, a world without art isn't a beautiful world, and you're making it a beautiful world.
Amen, man. Yeah.
So thank you again. I appreciate it. Ronnie, great seeing you again.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
I kept you up past your bedtime because I messed up that part of the podcast.
It's all right.
He's going
through. As long as I don't have to go out at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, I'm okay.
He's going through Arizona, him and Tammy, next week. So
oh, really?
Yeah, we're gonna do this all over again next week.
So we would love to see you if you ever do have the desire to hit the road. You let me know, and we'll get you some gigs in northern Arizona.
Oh, I would love to go to Arizona.
And you folks that are listening to this wherever you are in the country, when you're coming through Modesto, check it out. Decades ago, Modesto had a bad rap when we were knucklehead kids and didn't know any better.
Oh, the music's coming up and up, man.
Oh, and the downtown area, it's a beautiful spot, man. I've loved my last couple of trips here, so... Matt Davis, thank you so much. Ron, thank you so much. Great folks at the Wildfire Public House in Modesto, California. Thanks for letting us take up space.
Thanks for having me.
Will you still love me if I'm not the same as I am today? Through all the years, we'll be changing in so many ways. We keep choosing me. Will you still love me if all of our dreams don't pan out the way we plan? Through the years, we'll be changing in so many ways. We keep choosing me. Say yes, yes, again and again till the end of time. Will you keep choosing me? Will you keep choosing me? After years have gone by and when times get tough, if all hope seems lost, will you never give up? Will you keep choosing me? Will you take me to home from this day forward, for better, for worse, whether rich or we're poor, in sickness and health? Will you keep choosing me? Say yes, yes. Again and again, say yes. Again and again, till the end of time. Will you keep choosing me? Say yes, yes. Again and again, say yes. Again and again, till the end of time. Will you keep choosing me? Will you keep choosing me?
Thank you so much.